Welcome to Beauty 4.0, a podcast by Cosmetics Design Europe, brainstorming opportunities in tech and cutting-edge innovation for an industry that can thrive. In this episode, we speak with Andrew McDougall, Director of Beauty and Personal Care Research at Mintel, about the evolving market trends in the beauty tech space and where the key opportunities are. Get ready for insight on tech-forward devices, virtual realities, NFTs, the metaverse, blockchain opportunities, and what brands need to focus on today. Now, we've been away for a little while, but the Beauty 4.0 podcast is back, and I'm thrilled to kickstart things off with some exclusive fireside-style insight from Mintel from the busy show floor of last month's In Cosmetics Global in Paris.
What are you seeing in the beauty tech space that you think's interesting today?
There's so much stuff now, actually, for beauty tech, because you have, obviously, diagnostics now are evolving loads, devices are evolving loads, like for skincare or haircare, analysis is really important for personalization and things like that, in terms of actually diagnosing, but then also then delivering the product as well. And we see a lot of tools that can help with that. And not just in salons or in skin spas and things like that. We're actually seeing it now for at-home devices as well. So there's a lot of tech coming through that is really interesting to look at from that sort of end-user side of things. But then also technology and beauty is really interesting to look at in terms of online and what the digital space means. Obviously, those trends were around 2-3 years ago anyway, but they've really been accelerated over the last 2 years with the pandemic. And again, we're now seeing us play in spaces such as connecting virtually. Do we need to do everything online and offline? And I think the future is going to be this mix of online shopping and offline shopping, and how we sort of merge with that, because beauty is still a very tactile industry. Sensory is still really important to try, smell, feel beauty products. So the way tech is playing in that space is really interesting. And then if you go steps further, you can talk about of metaverses and does beauty belong in the metaverse, and how we can play in that space. And I think right now the big focus is on metaverse for shopping. How do we take real life products and imitate them in the metaverse? And that's definitely the first stage of the metaverse, but it's not the limit of where it's going to go. So it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. I know NFTs, non-fungible tokens, are things that brands are looking for now from a brand level. And again, this has been looked at in terms of how we can build loyalty programs, which beauty has always been very good at, loyalty schemes, how we can build much more loyal fan bases, open up our networks to people, ownership as well, this idea of doesn't matter how much a brand or how much a product costs, it's actually just about, is it exclusive? Something like an NFT, I can only buy a certain amount of them. And I think a lot of beauty companies that we've seen, Givenchy, NARS, Clinique, there's loads already with these beauty NFTs, and it's interesting because again it is this limited edition thing that as soon as the drop happens, within 2 seconds they're sold out.
They're gone.
There's a clamour for it. However, I don't know fully if we know what to do with this audience once we have it. It's like a captive audience that's very active, and we don't know what to do with it yet. So I think for beauty, the options for NFTs are amazing to look at from a tech point of view. Like blockchain, for example, is really interesting to look at because it's not just about cryptocurrency, although again that would add into the loyalty reward schemes we talk about. And you can teach, largely beauty is largely a female dominated audience, cryptocurrency is largely a male dominated audience, so it's interesting again to sort of bring more females into the crypto world. I know there's a platform called Lolly, which a number of beauty companies use. M Cosmetics, the Michelle Phan brand, use it. And again, it's all about just, well, actually we can teach people more about cryptocurrency and they can be investors without fully understanding it, you know, without having to go down that crypto route. So it's interesting to see the stepping stones we're taking right now.
What you've just described in how you're seeing tech across beauty, is it very fragmented, should it be, or is there ways that this can all be woven together?
No, I think it's not fragmented in the sense that you don't have, obviously you don't have to play in every space, and technology is such a wide topic anyway. It could be devices, it could be digital, it could be online, there's so many things it could be.
Yeah.
So it's not all encompassing of, well, I'm doing tech so I have to do everything. So it's obviously playing in the right space. But we are seeing that the links could be there.
Okay.
So, as I say, like things like blockchain are interesting to look at because, again, we think about it in terms of NFTs and cryptocurrency, but actually the technology, this sort of digital ledger system, is actually really interesting if you applied that to supply chains, supply chain traceability, if I could trace exactly where products come from. Because if you're a brand and you have a product, your ingredient list is quite long. Chances are you don't have full transparency on your own supply chain. So how can you then give consumers full transparency? It's impossible. So again, having those kind of sort of impacts going forward can be very interesting to look at. As I say, it could be used for the loyalty reward program for cryptocurrencies. It can be used for anti-counterfeit, which is obviously something we've always dealt with in cosmetics. NFTs, example, could be a great way to use that rather than these sort of things that people buy because they're cool and I want to buy them. But actually, when you buy a fragrance, you also get the NFT with it to prove this is a certificate of authenticity.
Do you think beauty has the knowledge to do tech at a high... Because if you think about the consumer goods market as a whole, we're fairly tech forward. Like the technologies that we see for healthcare, nutrition, things like that, consumers are pretty well versed in, you know, Fitbits for diabetes management. Is there the knowledge in the beauty space to get beauty up to speed, or are they going to have to work collaboratively outside?
We know from our consumer research that technology, new technology is exciting. Consumers, a majority of consumers globally would say new technology is exciting. We also know as well from consumer research that consumers like to be the first to try new technology as well. That is also appealing. Not quite as big a majority, but it's still a majority figure of consumers that say that I like to be sort of an early adopter, or things like that. And that's general consumers, not just beauty consumers. But we do know as well, anecdotally, that the beauty industry has always been quite forward thinking when it comes to tech and things like that. So again, another use for this type of technology could be around personalization, for example. That's obviously a recurring trend in beauty that kind of goes in peaks and troughs, but it's always there, and it's definitely peaking again now with health and all these other drivers behind it. So personalization is really important. But again, consumers may be concerned with my data. I don't want to share too much data with you because how are you going to use it, things like that. Again, blockchain maybe will allay that concern because, again, I'm not saying this is what companies are doing, but there could be, from looking at the technology, there could be this possibility that actually, if we can share data that is then encrypted and protected and isn't centralized, then this is potentially a safer place to be. So maybe I might be, if it can be proven to me just that it is more secure, I may be more willing to share my data, leading to more personalized products.
I've spoken to quite a few tech people about this personalization trend and that they think, you know, big data is the next big thing, but it's about managing that. And from what I'm hearing from them, they're saying that beauty companies as a whole or traditionally are not set up to deal with these masses of data.
Yeah, exactly. So these ledger systems or these implementations could help. And that obviously will, I mean, there's a few companies here at the show that are sort of looking into that. I know there's a few suppliers looking into that. On the Omnia stand, for example, I know they have a company called Mosaic, which is definitely evolving and seeing how technology can be, not necessarily blockchain, but how technology could be used certain ways for supply chains in beauty. I know that BASF are doing a big digi focus now. I mean, they're not at the show, but from conversations with them, I know that they are looking at, and they've had this new launch around digital. So there are companies already looking at how they can play in the space and what it can mean for the beauty sphere. So beauty can definitely play in the space, just obviously third parties will be involved in that.
Sure. But,
it is interesting to see this evolution because, as I say, it could be personalization, it could be traceability, proving claims as well. There's a, I don't know if you've heard of the app Provenance.
Yep.
So, or it's not an app, it's a software. And Provenance work with Cult Beauty to provide these proof points, and that's fascinating to look at as well, because again, it's about sort of proving, are there certain claims, or again, transparency or traceability, that can give you all that. I think that is going to resonate well with consumers, and that is showing that beauty can manage it, and when it, the more commonplace it becomes, it will be very interesting to see how that evolves, because you look at some of the key trends or the key things or concepts in beauty over the last few years, such as clean beauty and things like that. These are driven again by the want, the desire to know more about ingredients. And the clean beauty industry is always a really weird one. I don't necessarily like the term clean, but it highlights to consumers about products. They want more traceability, ethical sourcing. there are these trends from consumers anyway, so it's how beauty incorporates that and gets on top of that. And I think beauty is a good sort of pioneering industry for all these types of things. We have a loyal consumer base. As I mentioned earlier about loyalty schemes being very good in beauty, before tech existed, loyalty schemes were always very sort of well placed in beauty. So adding that tech involvement into that will only further that as well. So I think beauty has always been a good industry for these types of things. It's again just finding the real purpose of use rather than it being a gimmick. It's how it's actually implemented into the functional running day-to-day.
Yeah. And value, adding value for the consumer.
Well, exactly. It will add value for the customer and for the consumer. So it's it's interesting to look at.
Where are we most advanced in applying tech in the beauty space, and where is the least developed that has perhaps opportunity?
That's interesting. I would say right now, it depends on the type of tech we're talking about as well, because obviously if it's devices, devices has always been sort of a very volatile market for beauty, I think, in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always played differently in those kind of spaces. Skincare, I'd say, is probably more advanced than haircare in that regard, but then we are seeing hair appliances, obviously Dyson entering those markets and doing so much as well. So it depends on the type of tech you're talking about. I think, as I say, for brands and for technology such as this sort of blockchain metaverse boom, brands are already playing in that space. It's not a case of maybe beauty should look at it. We are already seeing brands experiment with the metaverse. You know, you can go to product launches, like I'm invited to a color cosmetic launch the other day in the metaverse. If you log into the you create an avatar and you go to it virtually, obviously, from your computer. So beauty is already playing in this space. And right now it is a bit token, it is a bit gimmicky, and it's not going to have huge buy-in right now. But again, it's just how that evolves going forward. And you look at the drivers over the last couple of years, and everyone's using Teams or Zoom or GoTo or whatever video platform that we use nowadays to connect. That is that first step into the metaverse. You don't create a profile, sure, but you're literally then virtually communicating. So there is that step into there. And so it's those stepping stones, I think, towards implementing this complete thing going forward. And it's important as well to notice, whilst we're talking about metaverse, is that the metaverse we imagine now in 2022 is going to be nothing like what it becomes. In the 80s or the 90s, when the internet came about, people didn't buy into that. You didn't imagine it being, you know, something that we rely on now so heavily. So I'm not saying metaverse is going to go that way. This is what is difficult, I think, and that's why there are always going to be skeptics, because new technology always encourages skeptics. The iPod had skeptics. You know, everyone is skeptical of everything. And new tech is always like that. That's where the evolution is going to be really interesting.
And what's the global picture with these beauty tech trends? Everything you've talked about there, are we seeing more uptake in Europe? APAC traditionally is very forward with devices and use like that. How does that break down on a global level?
For the actual devices, the device market itself, like physical devices, APAC is like for hair loss devices and skin devices. APAC is, I think, probably further down that line. Light therapy, for example, is much further down the line in APAC, and we see more patents as well, because at Mintel we can track patents that whether they're applied for or granted or whatever. So we definitely do see more in APAC, but also the North America is sort of coming through more so with this as well. So it is coming more so in different regions. I wouldn't say Europe is sort of lagging behind, but it's kind of, I think we're not quite as advanced as the APAC region. And
okay.
Particularly device, we see more patents for devices in the US. So it's interesting from that point of view. In terms of sort of the virtual, the digital, I think the world over it's kind of being looked at. But again, you have different regulations depending on where you are. So certain websites or platforms will be banned in certain countries throughout the world, or they may not be used as heavily. Obviously, certain branded platforms are going to be more used elsewhere. But again, I think regulation is slowly going to break that down. The idea, again, behind the metaverse is that I don't need to have a Microsoft-powered computer or an Apple-powered computer or a Linux-powered computer. Actually, the metaverse is going to be all-encompassing, so everyone can play cross-platform. So I think the future is going to be cross-platform in that, with that regard, and it has to be.
Okay, it has to be for access, yeah. Because on the surface, how the metaverse and all these NFT techs happening at the minute, it sort of sits more comfortably up in that mastige space, potentially. I mean, but can you see that coming down, filtering to just mass beauty?
It could, but it needs to be communicated and dealt with, because right now, yeah, playing in the NFT space, it is just those brands I mentioned earlier, it is those higher priced brands playing in that space, again, because that idea of exclusivity.
Yeah, and the consumers can afford.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, the NARS example I gave you earlier is really interesting, because NARS, when they launched their NFTs last year, they had three NFTs. One was unlimited and was free. So that was interesting, because it was like the entry level step into like, oh, I can own this NFT without really understanding anything about it. So that was interesting to see. But yeah, it's definitely is much more in that, obviously they had some limited edition ones that were $500 or whatever. So it is definitely in that more prestige space that we're seeing this play right now. I think there needs to be more mass adoption before mass brands think about taking it on board. But it's definitely something being looked at and watched. And as I say, I don't necessarily feel like the first looks at NFTs that we see now, I don't necessarily think that's the, it shouldn't be that restrictive. Again, if you can open up communities that you can speak with, the Lions Barber Collective, the barbershop company, is a really interesting one, because they have a Lions Barbershop NFT that I think is just being launched, or has been launched this month. And that is very much about opening up this safe space again for men to talk about their mental health. That's been the whole initiative behind the Lions Barber Collective. So it's about what you do with that audience once you have it. And so we're not restricted right now. Let's see how this goes. And as I say, right now we can create communities. That's great. You have a loyal fan base. That's great. Loyalty reward schemes. If I buy something that is virtual, this NFT, I can then link it to tangible assets. So maybe you get discounts on real life products, things like that. But as I say, that could also then lead to links between authenticity.
Yeah.
There's all these sort of different examples that we are seeing. So it does need more mass adoption. Still very much niche. I'm not saying that this is something we're all going to be using next year, but it is definitely a space that we get asked a lot about, and given the consumer sentiment behind technology, it's definitely something that we need to be watching.
It's there, yeah. Okay, just to close then, what would be your message to beauty brands and manufacturers specifically looking to advance in any space tech-wise, you know, whether that be device development, working on metaverse content, what would be your message, your sort of key takeaway for them?
I think there's always this clamour to be the first, or like that's like being the pioneer is always the best position to be in. Obviously, if you're the first to do something, it's like, wow, you're always going to be the reference point. That is wonderful. However, obviously, there's only one or two companies that are ever going to make that status. So, I think sometimes it can be good to not. I'm not saying don't do anything, but just monitoring as well. So if you're thinking to yourself, I don't have the money or the investment to go into these spaces, that's fine. See how this is evolving. The fact that Meta or Facebook changed its name, and the fact that so many big tech companies are looking at metaverses, shows that this is probably something that is going to influence us in the future. However, we haven't really seen anything from Meta yet, in terms of Facebook hasn't particularly changed at this moment in time. So there is, it's not a waiting game, but it is, rushing into things has never been the best thing to do. So I think sometimes it's just good to see how it evolves, and then authentically knowing how you can play in those spaces. Is it worth me playing in that space? For some people, if you know your consumer, you think my consumer will not want to live in metaverses and do all these different things, then maybe that's not the place to play in. However, I think for communities and for brands that are built around communities, it's not about leading conversations, but it's actually just about being these pioneers that can drive initiatives. That can be really interesting to look at. So I think knowing your brand and knowing how you can play in these spaces is probably the most important thing. And the technology doesn't always have to be the coolest, fanciest thing. As I say, like I'm talking about metaverses now and NFTs, because that's what is happening in that blockchain space right now. However, the more practical use of blockchain is probably could be really, really useful and functional. So those types of investments are also really important to look at.
Well, that's all from us at Beauty 4.0, a podcast by Cosmetics Design Europe, bringing you everything you need to know about tech and innovation advances in the field.